Well, we appreciate everyone that's here this morning. Most of all, the Lord. Covet your prayers. The Lord will bless the word that He's laid on our hearts. Think about the song Sister Joyce called that says, "Jesus lives in me." And thought how appropriate that was for the burden we have this morning. I'd like to, by the help of the Lord, talk a little bit about Christian conduct. Christian conduct. Thinking about a lot of things the last couple weeks about along this line. You can be a very good moral, very upstanding person. But that doesn't mean that you can live the life that exemplifies Christ. We've got to have Christ in us in order to live and conduct ourselves in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. I was also thinking about those of us that have been saved for a while, any of us actually, but most of us here has been saved for a little while. And I don't suppose that the devil would come along and try to get any of us to go back and do the things that we once did when we was in sin. I did some things that I know by the grace of God, I'll never do again. And I think the devil knows that too. I've said many times that we need to have honesty of heart, and that means being honest with ourselves, being honest with God, and being honest with the devil, letting him know just where we stand, what we will and what we won't do, what we will accept and what we will not accept. But I've been thinking a lot about the church, our people. I wonder sometimes if the enemy wouldn't want to come along and try to bring you and I down through the very precepts or the concepts that you and I have of what the Church of God is and what it means to live a Christian life. I think about the scripture found in Matthew, the 16th chapter. Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he said, beware. Now, he said, take heed, and beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. And I think it would do us good this morning to beware of any leaven of going astray from the true conduct of what it means and what it is to be a child of God. If Jesus truly lives in us and is reigning in us, then let us be the examples that the world sees Christ and not us. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I want to read a scripture. It's found in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. In the 14th verse, Paul had just set the qualifications for bishops and deacons. Now, I want us all to get an understanding right here at the beginning. What I have to say, the Lord's done this with me a time or two, brings a great fear upon my heart, disturbs my sleep, but the Lord's done this a time or two. I want us to understand, I'm talking to every one of us this morning. Whether you're a minister or whether you're part of the church of God. Whoever you are, I'm talking to every one of us, and of course that includes me. We all have a responsibility to God to live by the commandments or the doctrines. Jesus talked about the leaven of the Pharisees, talking about their doctrines and what they believe and what they stand for. And I want to read some of those today by the help of the Lord. But Paul had just set qualifications in place for the leaders in the church of God. And he said here in the 14th verse, "These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." Christian conduct. Paul set things in order for the leadership, for the ministry, for the workers, the deacons, the bishops that he mentions here in this chapter. He set them forth because there is a way. There's a certain way that you and I are to conduct ourselves. There's a certain way we are to behave ourselves in the church of God. He said it was the pillar and the ground of truth. The pillar means it's the support. You and I, in our daily lives, are to support the truth. There shouldn't be any question in someone else's mind when they watch our conduct of the life that we are trying to portray, which is Christ. There shouldn't be any question. And he said it's the ground of truth. It is the foundation of truth. There's many churches out there. Paul told him over in Acts 20 and 28, feed the church of God, didn't he? We believe that the church of God is God's church. I believe that. And everyone that is saved and been born again is in the church of God. We don't put anyone in and we don't put anyone out. But Paul said here, he's talking to Timothy, a young minister, and he said that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave yourself in the house of God. If you and I, in our walk with the Lord, do not conform to the standards that the church of God teaches, and you know, I've had someone say, well, I don't teach what the church of God teaches. I teach what the Bible teaches. Well, that's good. But I believe they're one and the same. I believe they should be one and the same. And if you and I don't conform to the standards that we are being taught, we can seriously undermine the effectiveness of the church. Every one of us has that responsibility on our shoulders. Achan found out what it was like whenever he disobeyed the Lord and took of the accursed thing. You and I, by not holding the standards and keeping the truth and the love of God in our hearts, being the example that God is calling us to be, can undermine the effectiveness of the church of God, because no man's an island and someone is watching our lives. No matter who we are, someone is watching our lives. I'd like to turn over to Matthew. I bring this morning in the fear of God. I do not take it lightly. I take it personally that this belongs to me, the 23rd chapter of Matthew. This is probably not any of our everyday readings, because this is where Jesus is exposing the doctrines of the scribes and the Pharisees. This is where Jesus is talking about the Pharisees. And I want us to read and listen closely to ourselves. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." How often do we see that? "They bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplace, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all brethren. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Now Paul tells us over in 2 Corinthians to examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. And I think it's always good, as we get caught up sometimes with the affairs of life and entangled in some things in this world, I think it's always good, it's safe for you and I to examine ourselves to see what's really in our hearts, to see what is really in our lives, to see how we're really conducting ourselves and handling ourselves, that it is truly promoting Jesus Christ to this lost and dark world. Now, Jesus here, in what he's saying, is examining the professors. He's exposing them just for what they are. And he says they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greeting in the marketplaces. I want to remind us this morning, I believe the Lord wants us to be reminded, no matter who you are or what your place is in the church of God, where God has put you in the body, whether it be apostles, teachers, preachers, whoever it may be, that you and I should never forget the beginnings of where God brought us from. We should always remember who we were and what we were and realize that we do not have anything, any ability, any grace unless God give it to us. Never forget that. Brother McCoy taught us when we were young, when I was young, as our pastor, he said, there are no big eyes and there are no little U's. Ministers are not big eyes. Ministers are servants of God. We are to stay just as humble as that, probably more humble than anyone else, that God can truly use us and get glory to His name. That is the proper way for you and I to conduct ourselves as children of God. There's something about the Pharisees that has gotten my attention. The Pharisees were pious people. You know, I looked up that word pious. We all know, probably have an idea what pious means. But I believe this morning that God does not want you and I to be pious. I believe He wants us to be children of God, believers of God, following the Word of God, and being as humble as we heard about in the Sunday school lesson this morning, staying lowly and humble before God, and keeping a broken and a contrite heart, that God can do what He will with each and every one of us. We think we do sometimes, but we don't always know what God wants to do with us. But it's best that we'll be like a little Samuel. And as we're laying there in the bed and God is speaking to us, and as God begins to show us what He wants to do with us in our life, it's better to be in a place where we have an open heart, an open mind, and open ears to hear the voice of God, no matter who we are. Pious. You know, everybody that knows me knows that I get pretty frank sometimes. I thought of the scripture and I went over and read it in the 15th verse of the 4th chapter of Ephesians. Paul said, "Speak the truth in love." So I'm going to speak the truth in love this morning. Saints, there shouldn't be no piousness among us. And here's why. The word pious means being devoted to a particular religion or belief. Now that part, that doesn't sound too bad. I am devoted to what I believe this morning. I believe it with all my heart and I intend to give my life for it, just as you do. But it goes on to say, falsely appearing to be good or moral. That's pious. Marked by conspicuous religiosity. Saints, listen this morning. Listen to the Word of God this morning. Marked by conspicuous religiosity. There was no one on earth at the time of Christ that was so marked by religiosity than the Pharisees were. They were so pious, caught up in what they believed, and they did not have an open mind and did not have an open heart and was willing to receive the things that Christ had come to teach them to help them find eternal life. In other words, their religiosity was a hindrance to the redemption of their soul. It went on to say, pious means hypocrite or a sham. Have you ever seen anyone like that? Folks, my heart is really troubled this morning. My heart is very troubled because I see things like this. And you probably do too. The Lord brought the word to me, waterlogged. You know what waterlogged means? It means that a log or a piece of wood is so saturated with water that if you put it on a fire, it won't burn. But it'll sit there, if the fire is big enough, it'll sit there and smoke. And that's what pious is. Folks, let's don't send up a smoke screen. Let's don't try to get someone to believe that we're something when we're not. Ministers and everyone else alike. Because that's really where my burden is this morning. Lord, help me be able to bring this out in the way that would please Him. You and I, Brother Mark Sammons, he used to say, the saints are probably the most preached to people in the world. And those of us that have been saved most of our life or around the church most of our life, we know that we've heard a lot of messages. We've heard a lot of things taught. And yet, how much of it do we really remember? Folks, it's important at the time that it's taught or the time that it's preached to go home and get down before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to apply this in my own life that I might have proper Christian conduct in living before you. Conduct. I'd like to read on here before I say any more about it. No, I wouldn't. I want to finish this thought. Peter tells you and I to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of God. Folks, I don't believe there's any problem with us. And I say that, I use that term as the church. I don't believe there's any problem with us of the knowledge and understanding that we have of the Word of God. But folks, the problem comes in When you and I haven't got low enough, and we haven't sought God enough for the grace that we need to live to what we know and understand. Lord, help us this morning. This comes right back at me. It comes to every one of us today. Growing in the grace. I don't want to get waterlogged, and I don't want to get so pious that I know so much, or I'm a leader of a congregation, or I'm a leader in the church, that I am so high and mighty that whenever the real truth comes out and the facts are seen, that all I'm doing is sending up smoke signals. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? I believe I'm making this as clear as I can. Folks, we can't afford to send up smoke signals, because God looks through that smoke and He sees the heart that it's really coming from. He saw the Pharisees, and Jesus derided them here. I do want to continue to read just a few more verses. In the 23rd verse of this same chapter, 23:23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites." Woe unto you pious folks. "For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And these ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." We're going to get to that in a little bit by the help of the Lord. "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortions and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." You might be sitting there saying, "Brother Larry, how can these things be? I go to my secret closet of prayer and I pray and I feel like the Lord hears me, and I'm not here to unsave anybody or tell you that He doesn't. What I'm here to tell you this morning is to keep a check on your own heart, your own intentions, and be sure that what is emanating from you back to God, folks, is the real thing and not hypocrisy." How can we know that? We can look at our lives. We can examine our lives. We can examine our hearts to know that we're pleasing the Lord. I said last week, Jesus told him over there, from the abundance of the heart. It's not what goes in the man, but it's what comes out of the man. Folks, there's too many leaders, Christian leaders across the country and the world today, that are leading people astray, because they don't understand or have the doctrines of the Church of God. They don't know how to behave themselves as they ought to behave themselves, but they have the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they're leading people astray today, and standing up before probably Sunday morning here, all across this nation, standing up before people and teaching them things that they don't even have in place in their own life and in our own heart. Lord, help us today. Christian conduct. How we conduct ourselves. You can have all the knowledge you want. You can be a leader. You can say, "Well, I've been this for this long, and I've been that for that long." Folks, Do you think that means anything to God? He appreciates your faithfulness. Yes, He does. He blesses faithfulness. But when it comes right down to where the rubber meets the road, He wants to know who you are and what you are right now. He wants to know how you've conducted yourself among the people and how you've conducted yourself in your own private places. He wants to know those things. Because that's what we're going to give an account of. I just read the scripture found in John 12 and 48. Jesus said, I ain't come to judge you. He hasn't come to judge us yet. But He said, the words that I've spoken unto you, the same shall judge you. We're going to be judged by these words, folks. We're going to be judged by the Word of God. So we need to get things in order and get things in place now and be sure that our life is not a sham, but we are genuine and we are honest and we are open before the Lord and everything that we say we are in our testimonies. I've seen some things lately that hurt. I'm still hurt very deeply. Shenanigans that have been pulled. Things that have been done. And I'll tell you, folks, when someone does things like that to me, it makes me feel violated. It makes me feel abused. And it doesn't make me a very happy camper, as they call it. I'm not pleased with that kind of goings on in the Church of God. I believe everything needs to be above board. I believe that we need to continuously and always show respect for one another. And when it comes to the ministry, Lord help us this morning, we should always show respect to one another and treat each other like we're adults and that we're children of God and not use and abuse one another. Yes, the Lord's talked to my heart. I hope I don't have to preach this at Monarch, but I might have to. God is not interested in a people that knows it all. He's not interested in your wisdom. He's not interested in your voluntary humility. He's not interested in all those kind of things when it comes down to you, but He wants you and I to be like John the Baptist said, He must increase, but I must decrease. The longer that we live for God, folks, the smaller we ought to get. Amen. The smaller we ought to be. But when we come down, because we have this great intelligent mind, or whatever that it might be, and we come down and we ply that and use that against our fellow brethren, folks, I believe we're doing damage to the Church of God, and I know we're doing damage to the ministry. I'm going to stand by what I'm preaching this morning. The Lord been waking me up middle of the night, too many nights lately, and laying this burden on my heart. Me sitting out in the other room, going through the scriptures. Apostle Paul was a classic example of what I'm talking about. And I won't, for the sake of time, yes, I will too. We got all the time we need today, don't we? We'll spend plenty of time eating and fellowshipping later. Over in Philippians, Philippians, third chapter. We have Paul's pedigree. Pharisees had a pedigree too. Paul had a pedigree. He was quite a fellow. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Are we trusting in our fleshly wisdom? Are we trusting in our fleshly understanding, or are we leaning on the leadership of the Holy Ghost? leading us and guiding us in our lives. Concerning zeal, circumcised, verse 5, the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, that's touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I'm blameless. Quite a pedigree, isn't it? But the things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul came to understand in his working for the Lord and with the Lord. He came to understand that all of this pedigree was a detriment or a liability to his salvation. It didn't make him any greater in the kingdom of God. It didn't make him any less in the kingdom of God. It did not have effect of where he stood or where he was in the kingdom of God. But it was a detriment to me. All those things that I was, all the wisdom and the understanding that I had and people looking up to me and thinking I was somebody, and I persecuted the church of God. And I still went and did those things in ignorance. Because he thought he was doing right. How many of us think that we're doing right sometimes without having the full leadership of the Holy Spirit working within us? Getting a little lifted up. Getting a little exalted. Oh, you know, I've got this real sharp mind. Folks, I'm not throwing any stones here. I'm talking about the church of God. I've got this ability that I know how to use people. I know how to pit this one against that one. And I know how to do these kind of things. And so the enemy comes along and he exalts me because I have this ability and causes me to do these kind of things in my own walk with the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, just plain facts, God ain't buying it. God ain't buying it. God doesn't accept that kind of worship. Talks about will worship too. I'll get over there in a minute with the help of the Lord. He considered his pedigree a detriment. It was a liability. It was something that he had to overcome because he had all of this past knowledge and he had this brilliant mind that he seemed to have from his writing. He considered him a detriment when it come to him pleasing God. When it came to his Christian conduct and his walk with the Lord. You know, God's merciful, very merciful. He's proven that time and time again. It amazes me. I'm amazed. Even after almost 30 years now in the ministry, I'm still amazed that God could use some little pitiful vessel to be a blessing and help to others. But he can do it if we stay humble. I don't care how many successes you've had. I don't care how many times God has come along and done something special with you in your life. Folks, after you've done all of that, you're just an unprofitable servant. It's God that we are to glorify. It's God that we are to get to lift up. And we are never to lift up self before anyone. Before the church. Before anyone. There isn't anyone in this room this morning that's more pitiful and in need of help of the Lord than I am. And I know that. And I realize that. And I'm dependent on Him for that. Folks, you get to the point where you take things for granted. You know, and I understand how easy it can be for those that have been working for the Lord for many, many years. I understand that if we're not careful, we can get casual about it. We can take it for granted. The Lord did it before and He'll do it again. I don't do that. That's presuming upon the Lord. And I don't think we need to be presuming upon the Lord. He will bless us as long as we stay humble. As long as we acknowledge that we need Him. He will bless us. Some of you know some things and probably have a little more understanding of what I'm kind of beating around the bush about. That's all right. Because God said, preach it, and I'm going to preach it. Paul was so lifted up, and God used him mightily, that we can go over there in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and because of his revelations, because of all the ways that God used him, all that he revealed to him, it says that God allowed Satan to send a thorn in the flesh, didn't it? And what was it for? To humble him. It was to humble him and help him to realize, you can't do anything without me. And God allowed Satan to send a messenger of Satan to buffet him. To help him to realize, you're dependent on me. You're dependent on the Lord. All that pedigree, it don't mean much. It don't amount to much in the kingdom of heaven. And folks, I have to say it again, it doesn't matter to me who you are. You need the Lord. Every day. In every situation that you may find yourself in, you need the Lord. We all need the Lord this morning. Imagine that. We know that, don't we? Let's not forget it. Let's not presume on the Lord and just say, well, Lord, you've done it before, you'll do it again. Let me remind you of a good Old Testament Bible character. And we say that he was a type of Christ. Let me remind you of Moses. Moses was a godly man. He feared God. Moses also rose up one time and he murdered someone, didn't he? He took someone's life in the heat of the moment. And then he ran off out into the hillsides. But God forgave him of that, and God chose him to use him to deliver his people out of bondage. All that is good and well. As long as Moses stayed humble and realized it was God that was doing it. It wasn't Moses. You know the story. For the sake of time, when God, people were crying for water, the Lord told him to take the rod and smite the rock, and the water came out, didn't it? And he glorified God. And then they went on to another place, and the people started murmuring and complaining. Oh, that'll get on your nerves. I don't blame it all on Moses. He was human. He was a man. That get on your nerves to hear all that murmuring and complaining all the time. But what his problem was is that he went over there and he said, must I again fetch water out of this rock for you? Must I? Saints, Lord help us. I can't do anything without the grace of God. We can't do it. And when he went over there after making that statement and went over there and touched the rock, God in his mercy and love to his children, he sent the water out. But it cost Moses, didn't it? Can you and I ever presume and tell the Lord, Lord, I went through that once, but I sure won't go through that again. You going to tell the Lord that? That's presuming on the Lord, folks. The Lord may send us through it once, and He may want to send it through us a second time. He may want to use you again to bless His people. He may want to use you again to open the eyes of souls that are in trouble. He may want to use your conduct and how you live and walk before Him in order to win another soul. For the kingdom of heaven. He may want to do that. It cost Moses. I think Moses was a good man. It said he saw God face to face. God even put him in a cleft of the rock and let him see his hinder parts, didn't he? But folks, when he said, "Must I?" it cost him. It cost him the Canaan land, didn't he? And God in His goodness to you and I, His long suffering, it's not His will that any be lost. He took him up there on the mountain and He said, "You're not going over there, but I'll let you look into the land of promise. You're not going to go there because you presumed upon God." We can't forget where we came from, folks. Moses was taken out of the bulrushes as a little baby, raised up in the house of Pharaoh. Did that make him somebody special because he grew up in the king's house? The only thing that makes you and I special is to live in this king's house, the kingdom of God. And we should never forget it. Never forget it. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of those things. Stay away from things where the enemy can get involved in it and cause you to be troubled in mind and heart and spirit and cause you to lose your way. Stay away from those things that cause you to get waterlogged. A piece of wood that's waterlogged doesn't burn good at all. It doesn't burn. You can put it on the fire and you say, "Well, wood is fuel for fire," but not if it's waterlogged. God wants to use you and I. But if we get so waterlogged with knowledge, because we know this, and we know the Bible says that, and we know, and the Bible tells us, study to show yourself approved. It's good to know these things. But do we have the grace on hand? Are we living to what we know? That's the rubber, folks. Are we living to what we know and understand? Or have we got a little exalted like the Pharisees? You like to sit in the highest places. I want to be like Paul. I don't really see any real need of it for my sake because I know where I came from and I know who I am and the little ability that I have. But if I need it for the salvation of my soul, I want the Lord to send something to buffet me, to keep me humble, to keep me low and pliable before God. I want that. I was talking to someone. I'll leave that off. Let's look at the third chapter of Colossians. You bear with us this morning. It's not easy carrying these burdens around. It's not easy delivering them either. We need the help of the Lord to do it. This is hard on the flesh. I don't mind that, but bear with us. Pray for us. Colossians, third chapter. Let's read some. Mortify, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. These things, mortify means they must die. They must die. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetous, which is adultery, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Now then, we're all here professing to be children of God this morning. So we ain't living back there, are we? So we have those things mortified. We have those things destroyed, don't we? And we put off the old man. And he said, now you also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. when you have set forth to use your brother through deceit, that's lying. That's lying. That's lying, folks. When you set out to deceive someone else, lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, Scythian, bond nor free, or Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, Christian conduct. I'm getting to it here. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Take on the very nature of the one you claim to believe in. You and I, no matter who we are called to mend wrongs and bring people together. We're not called to divide, folks. We're called to have mercy on one another. We're called to have bowels of mercies, to bear and to forbear, forbearing and forgiving one another. And if you have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do you forgive them. You don't have to wait till they ask your forgiveness. You forgive them. And you keep your heart clear between you and God. You keep the path clear between you and God so your prayers will still get through. And you can reach the throne of grace. Christ is all. And if He is not being lifted up, there is no real good that will be accomplished in the kingdom of God. If He's not being lifted up. Not you, not me, but Christ. He's all in all. We need to have heartfelt compassion. I believe that Paul may be suggesting here, as he's writing to the folks at Colossae, that maybe they, all of them, haven't come to that place where they are spiritually able to conquer those things in their heart. Forbearing and forgiving. Some folks find it very hard to forgive. I believe that we're all a work of grace this morning. I believe that we all are in the process of acquiring the virtues that Paul is speaking of here. We're still in the process. Look where He's brought you from. Look where He's brought us from, folks. I'm certainly not the man today that I was back when before He saved me. Look where He's brought us from. Thank God for it. Thank God for His mercy, for His foresight. Today He can look down in our hearts and say, you know, I think I can do a little something with them. If they'll keep their hearts humble and pliable. I think I can do a little something. Paul, you know, he persecuted the church, thought he was doing right. And God said, I think I can do a little something with him if I can help him to see me. Who is it? He said, I'm Christ, Jesus, whom thou persecutest, didn't he? He caused Paul to see him. Saints, we should never, ever, no matter who we are, get our eyes off of him. That we can see him. Love. We cannot afford to forget this, saints. Love is the crowning grace required for perfectness or spiritual maturity. It's the crowning grace. It's how Jesus won you and I. I want to go on. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule. Have authority in your hearts. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. When we get involved, and we will, and we have, and we will again, when we get involved with confrontation, life's full of confrontations. Whatever course of action, we need to apply this, folks. This is Christian conduct. Whatever course of action that best maintains peace and harmony is the course that we are to take. We are never, never to give our 2 cents worth of how we feel in our minds about something and cause a division among people, among men, and to cause isms and schisms in the church of God. And I want to say, and I'll put it right on us, the ministry has a great responsibility to see that this is done. The ministers are the leaders, the ones that people look to, the ones that people count on to pray for them and to hold them up before the throne, and you and I must see to it that this is done. That we take the proper course of action to maintain peace and harmony. Pastors must always take the humble route to see to it that harmony and peace is maintained. You lose harmony and you lose peace and people get irritated and troubled and stirred up and you got problems. You got problems on your hands. And I wanted you to know that others are always looking on. Sister Diane told me 2 years, I guess it's been, or a year ago, when I was in Guthrie, someone come up to her and said, and whose congregation are you in? She told him, she said, oh, you're from a good congregation. Well, that's what I want people to hear about us. And only because we can keep peace and harmony and unity and working together and loving one another. Loving you and you loving me in spite of my personality. In spite that I'm a little different than you are. I do things a little different. We are to keep that. Because others are looking on. We need to have the conduct of our Lord and Savior. Every one of us is responsible for the fertile soil of the church of God. That you know how to behave yourself in the church of God, which is the pillar and the ground of truth. I want to look at another scripture, if you'll bear with us here, in the second chapter of Colossians. Eighth verse. We'll skip around. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I've already preached that. Beware lest man begin to use you through deceitfully and spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Then he went on to say in verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Would you say the Pharisees had a voluntary humility? I don't know. They didn't seem to have much humility at all. But they were very pious people. They considered themselves very religious people, didn't they? He said, let no man beguile you of reward in a voluntary humility. That's a pretentious humility, isn't it? It's a put-on humility. It's not genuine. It's not from God. It's not Bible humility. But it's someone putting on the airs of being humble. And worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. I remind you that Paul said in Romans 12:3, let no man think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Well, who are you? Who do you think you are? Folks, I'm just a child of God. And I'm happy for it. I'm thankful for it. Just to be a child of God. If you'll let me come in and sit in the back row and just be a part of God's people, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'll take it. But I'm desperate to go to heaven, and I'm sure you are too. Not holding, verse 19, the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, now listen to this verse. You may get something out of these. But I want you to listen to what Paul said. If ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are ye subject to ordinances? Now he's talking to the Jews here, or the Gentiles here. He's talking about the ceremonialism and the ordinances that they had in the church. But I want to, as I endeavored to bring out last Sunday, folks, you and I are not in bondage to this world. We're not in bondage to the enemy of our souls. We have liberty in the Lord. We have liberty to please Him, to serve Him, to glorify Him, and to do everything we can to exalt the character of Christ in our hearts and in our lives. But he went on to say, touch not, taste not, handle not. You can't touch this, you can't taste that, you can't handle that. Which all are to perish with the using. It's all fuel for the fire. Fuel for the burning. After the commandments and the doctrines of men. Don't eat meat on Friday. Don't drink this. Don't do that. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. I'm not bound by those kind of laws, folks. As I said last Sunday, the kingdom of God, it's not meat and drink. But it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You keep a good balance in your life, in everything that you allow to do according to your conscience. And I believe you can please God if you keep a balance and not go overboard one way or the other. He said here, after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship. In other words, there it is again, folks. It's pretentiousness. Putting on airs and not putting on Christ. And will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. No, we are not to be concerned with satisfying of the flesh. But we are to be concerned with satisfying the one that saved us. The one that delivered us. I'm almost finished. In Ephesians, maybe our last scripture. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. You know, some of these verses have really laid on my heart heavy over the years, especially the last one. In Ephesians 4:21, if so be that ye have heard him, have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Lord, help us to do that. There's a lot of other things that he says here as far as conduct is concerned. But the 31st and 32nd verse is what I want us to consider. If we truly are children of God, if we truly are, if we want to promote righteousness, if we want to promote Christ to this lost and to this dying world, and it is surely lost and dying. I was praying last night. You know, most of you know that Mr. Scalia, passed away yesterday. One of the very few conservative judges that was on the Supreme Court. He passed away yesterday. And I just mind rambling a little bit, thinking about what is to be and what is to become. And I said, Lord, I prayed Daniel's prayer. I said, Lord, to you belongs righteousness. But to us, confusion of faith. And I said, God, I said this last night in prayer. I said, God, we have sinned. David said, we've sinned. This nation has sinned. And it's gone far away from God. But I believe with all my heart that I'm looking at people here this morning that has a duty and a responsibility to see to it that we live a life of Christ that will wholly and completely exemplify His conduct, even yet, even now, in this dark world that we live in. You're duty bound, folks. You have a responsibility to exemplify the conduct of Jesus Christ, not be like everyone else. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And I just want to say this. If you find yourself looking cross-eyed at someone, if you find yourself, and I say this to my congregation right here, looking at someone else with malice, and the thoughts start coming, the devil begins to present thoughts that you would like this to happen to them or that to happen to them, or you want to get even or this and that and the other. I want to say right now, you take that to God immediately and you deal with it. Deal with malice. Don't let there be any malice, folks. The devil's good at these things. He knows how to promote them. He knows how to get in your mind. He knows how to get in your thoughts. He knows how to make you look cross-eyed at different at people. He knows how to do that. He got Saul looking cross-eyed at David. All because David has 10,000s and Saul only had his thousands. And he eyed David. So folks, this is possible. And I want you to understand this. But he said, be ye kind. This is my verse. This is my verse. You can have yours. This is mine. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Those are just words, aren't they? Folks, we need to take those words and we need to apply that to our hearts and our lives. Jesus plainly told us, He's not talking about just because they've been kind to you, but we are to be kind to our enemies. Love them that despitefully use us. Be kind one to another. Folks, how else is people going to see God today? Except He see it through us. Then He went on to say, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." You know, I don't use that word a whole lot. Something about it that kind of causes me to draw back. But you want to call each other saints, that's fine. The Bible does. But I want to tell you something. That's not a term to be thrown around lightly. A saint is one that becometh holiness. Is someone that becometh godliness. Is someone that when someone is looking at you or watching you, you are promoting the one that you're living for. That you claim to believe in. Our claim or our experience of salvation is not so much of how much we know. You keep that in your mind. It's not so much of how much we know, but it is of the fruit that we are bearing. You know, I've said it before, the Beatitudes, how Jesus taught there on the Mount, Sermon on the Mount. It'd probably take you just a few minutes to read it. It'll take us a lifetime to live it. We got an enemy, folks, and he's real. It'll take us a lifetime. But let us have determination. Let us have desire to please God. There's two things that will promote salvation, Christ to the world. One is knowledge and understanding. And the other is desire and purpose in our hearts to see that it is done. And to see that it is done well. And in a way that pleases God. Folks, we have someone that we answer to, every one of us, every day. We answer to Him. We don't really answer to one another. You know, they told Peter, they got a little upset with the disciples because they told him to do something and they didn't do it. And he said, it's better for us to obey God than man. I've been one of those that's been convinced that if I please God and obey Him, that the saints will get along with me. That I can get along with the church if I please God. Lord, help us to promote the true Christian conduct. Behave ourselves in every situation that we find ourselves in, that we take the low road, that we take the path of bringing peace and harmony and unity among our brethren, and that we not be a part of the problem, but that we be an answer to the problem. Used to have a thing out there, I don't know if we have it out there now, it was at the other chapel that said, if all the congregation was like me, what kind of a congregation would this congregation be? Quite a thought. If the congregation was like you, what kind of congregation would it be? You know, I've thrown roses to this congregation many times, but I appreciate this congregation. Appreciate who God has put in this place. The blessing that each one is to one another. I appreciate it so much. Appreciate your fervency. Appreciate your willingness to interact and to minister to me as well as we go about ministering to one another. I appreciate that. We do need each other, brother. But folks, Lord, help us today. That our life not be a sham, but that we live holy and righteous and godly before Him, even in this present world. Pray for me. You know, this is a high calling. I don't deny that. It's a high calling. But no matter how old we get, no matter how many times God uses you, you stay humble. that he can continue to use you as he sees best, as he sees fit. Amen.